Hello, this is Pastor Travis George, Lake Hamilton Assembly of God Church. I want to welcome you to our podcast. We're about ready to join in on one of our recent Sunday services that has already begun. So get ready to enjoy some powerful preaching with some timeless truths from the Word of God.
Exodus 17, verse number 8. Exodus 17, 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose us out men. Go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses said to him, and he fought with Amalek. Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill, and it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. They took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Father, thank you for the wonderful presence we have felt in this place today, God. Thank you for your blessings on us today, Father. Now help me to say what I need to say that will bring honor to you and strength to the people, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to draw some spiritual principles out of this story from the book of Exodus right now. I have been asked before. I actually had a guy show up one night when I was teaching on a Wednesday night through the book of Job, and he asked me if he could talk to me after service, and he said, well, I'm an apostle, and God sent me by here to tell you that you need to get out of that old book and get over in the new book. Everything the church needs is in the new book. And so I took him to 1 Corinthians. The scripture says what happened to them in the old was an example for us in the new. And so we can take the Old Testament in the light of the New Testament, and we can learn spiritual principles from what happened to them, and the physical is a story to illustrate to us spiritual principles as well. So in this story, here you've got the children of Israel, and they're fighting with Amalek. And I want to tell you this morning, very briefly, about walking in victory. The first thing, if you're going to walk in victory, is you've got to come out of Egypt. And that goes before this story. But the Exodus is all about the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. They were slaves in Egypt. They had been there for 400 years. And then God sent a deliverer. He sent Moses to them. And through signs and wonders and miracles, God brought his people, 2 to 3 million people that were slaves. He brought them out and made them his own people. And so, folks, in this story of Exodus, Egypt is a picture of sin. It's a picture of the world. And you can't walk in spiritual victory until you come out of the world. Amen. And the only way to come out of the world is through Jesus Christ. Amen. Moses in the Old Testament is a picture of Jesus in the New Testament. He has come to set us free from Pharaoh and from his captivity, from the devil and from sin and from captivity to sin, and to bring us out. The children of Israel went through the water. They walked through the sea on dry land. He came out the other side as a picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The same reason we're baptized in water after we believe. They went through the Red Sea. It's all a picture of the New Testament plan of salvation. And so, folks, let me tell you, there is no victory in this world except through Jesus Christ. There is no other name. There's no other way to beat sin. There's no other way to beat your habits, your hang-ups, your problems, except through Jesus Christ. Now, you can go to Barnes & Noble after you get out of church today, and you can go to their self-help section, and you can find self-help books on how to do everything from cutting your grass to becoming a gourmet chef. But let me tell you, folks, there is no self-help that will get you out of hell. The only way out of hell is through Jesus Christ, and it is given unto men that all of us are going to die, and after that death, we will face the judgment. And the only thing that is going to pass us through the judgment of God is that we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, and He has brought us out of sin and put us into His kingdom of light. So I'm telling you this morning, you can't play around with this. It is a very real thing. Unless you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and been born into the kingdom of God, you are still dead in your sin. Oh, but I've given thousands of dollars to the church. I've attended church for 40 years. Oh, I always bless the pastor, and I take care of my pastor, and I've done all these good things. Great. That's wonderful. That deserves a pat on the back, but it doesn't earn you a trip to heaven. Oh, but I've witnessed to so many people, and I've taught Sunday school, and I've done whatever it is you want to name, church. That may be commendable, and it may be a wonderful example that you've set for other people, but there is no way to have victory except through the blood of Jesus Christ. And the only way to get the blood of Jesus in your life is to fall on your knees and say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins and save me. I want to live for you, and I want you to live in me. There's no other way. So the first thing is, you got to come on out of Egypt. You got to get out of sin. You got to get out, and the only way out is through Jesus Christ. The only way the Israelites could get out was to follow Moses. The only way we can get out is to follow Jesus Christ. Then you need to realize your purpose. You see, being saved, man, that's the best gift that we could ever hope to receive. But let me tell you, that's not the end of the story. God has more. God has more. God's plan was to get them out of Egypt through the wilderness and into the promised land. God had plans for them. He didn't want to just bring them out and leave them out there in the wilderness, but He planned to bring them into the land of promise. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief is come only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I am come that you might have life. That's eternal life. And I'm come, there's a comma right there in John 10:10 in the King James. I've come that you might have life and life abundant. Folks, He wants to bring us into His promises. He wants to bring us into a place of abundance. He wants to bring us into a place that God has control. You see, God did not bring you out of Egypt for you to spend your whole life wandering in the desert. Everybody that was an adult that came out of Egypt missed it, except for two men. They came up out of Egypt and they forgot what their purpose was. They forgot that the purpose of coming up out of Egypt was so that God could take them to a land that He had prepared for them, that He had promised to Abraham to give unto his offspring, that He had said, indeed your seed shall sojourn down in Egypt for 400 years, but I will bring them back and I will give them this land where you're walking. I'll give them the wells they didn't dig and the vineyards they didn't plant and the houses that they didn't build. You see, they somehow forgot about that on the course of their journey, and they saw giants and they saw obstacles and they said they couldn't do it. And as a result, they missed out on entering into God's abundance, and they died in the wilderness. And only Joshua and Caleb, who were adults on that day, walked into the promised land 40 years later. Folks, let me tell you, I'm afraid a lot of Christians miss out on the wonderful things that God has for them because they lived their whole lives in the wilderness. They lived their whole lives searching after, seeking after, running after the things of this world and the things that don't matter and the things that can't really bring pleasure. They run after jobs and after money and after relationships and after sports and after pleasure and after possessions and whatever else this world has to offer. It's all just wilderness. It all doesn't matter. Every truck, every car, every home, every stitch of clothing, every dollar in the bank is all going to burn one of these days. It's all going to go away when the Lord burns it all up with unquenchable fire, but only that you commit unto Him will be kept against that day of judgment. I'm telling you, folks, don't burn your whole Christian walk running around after whatever this world has to offer, all the pleasures of this world that has to offer, so that you miss out on living in the promised land. So that, oh, you're talking about going to heaven, Pastor? No, I'm talking about the promised land of God's blessing and provision, and not just being a wilderness Christian, a carnal Christian that's so clotted up with the world that you never experience the best of God, that has to depend on miracles of manna and miracles of water coming out of the rock just to make it every day. I'm talking about somebody that enjoys the fat of the land, somebody that enjoys the blessings and the provision of God, that says, you know what? The world has some pretty nice stuff to offer, but I'm going after Jesus. The world has some pretty nice things to offer me, but I'm going after God. I'll neglect that so that I can enjoy this, because I've determined that time with God is better than anything the world might have to offer me. You see, the third thing this morning is you need to identify your problem. Identify your problem. Here in this story, Amalek came out against Israel. Boy, I sure am glad there's not any Amalekites around here. I don't want to have to face any of them Amalekites or Horonites or Jebusites or any of them other ites that they had to fight with. Well, no, we don't have to fight with the ites, but they're a representation. The Amalekites in this story are a representation of the flesh. Amalek in this story represents your biggest problem. That fella or that lady that stares back at you in the morning when you're shaving or brushing your teeth or putting on your mascara or whatever the case may be. I hope you don't do all three of those things. If you're shaving, brushing your teeth, and putting on mascara, we got a problem. Some of y'all caught that now. Some of you'll maybe think about it later, and some of y'all think he should never said that. Grandson of Esau. Who is Amalek? Amalek comes from Esau. Esau is the fella who sold his birthright out for a pot of beans. He chose material over spiritual. What good does this birthright do me? I'm starving to death. Give me something to eat. Sounds like some people that I know. What do I want that for? Oh, yeah, but you holy rollers, you Christians, just take it too far. Relax, enjoy, enjoy the things of, you know, enjoy the pleasures of the world. Enjoy some things. Don't take it so serious, man. I think God took it pretty serious when he hung upon a cross for my sin. I think God took it pretty seriously when he said, I be holy as I am holy. I think he took it pretty serious when he said, come out from among them and touch not the unclean thing. Be ye separate and I will receive you as my people. I think God takes sin pretty seriously. And I want to let you know that my biggest problem is the same as your biggest problem. And it's not somebody else. My biggest problem is not even the devil. Oh, we like to blame everything on him. Y'all that are old enough to remember Flip Wilson. Flip used to say, the devil made me do it, right? You younger kids will have to just Google Flip Wilson and see what I'm talking about. But he was funny back in the day, and the devil made me do it. You know, people still blaming the devil for lots of stuff that the devil didn't have nothing to do with. Our main problem is the flesh, this old, unregenerate flesh that we live in. Now, do you understand that in the New Testament, flesh doesn't necessarily mean the meat on your bones? It means the human nature. Flesh means the human nature. And folks, when you got saved, you became born again because Jesus came and he made your spirit. You were born again in your spirit. But this old body is not going to be born again until we're raptured out of here, until we go to glory. And then in a moment, in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be changed. And this corruption will put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. But we're still going to battle this old flesh as long as we're drawing breath. This old flesh, this old human nature that says, oh, it's too hard to read my Bible every day. It's too hard to, you know, to pay my tithe. It's too hard to do what God wants me to do. It's too hard to not talk like the world, think like the world, dress like the world, act like the world. It's too hard to do it that way. That's the old flesh. That's the old man, because my Bible says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, and God would never ask his children to do something that is impossible. He said, with men, things are impossible. But with me, all things are possible. Only believe. God, I'm having a problem. I'm struggling with anger or with lust or with just laziness or whatever it might be. Depression, fear, discouragement, you name it. God, I'm having trouble with this. Would you help me? Would you help me, Lord? You will find that if you will ask and continue asking, if you will seek and keep looking, if you'll knock and keep on knocking, that God will pour out on you a blessing that you're not able to contain and control. But the problem is this flesh, right? We're perpetually at war. You'll find in the Old Testament, they were perpetually at war with Esau and his descendants, the Amalekites. Just like you and I are constantly at war with the flesh. Hey, I'll tell you, there's some Sunday mornings that I would rather stay in bed. Right? And you do too, right? Oh, I think I'd just rather stay in bed. A nice rainy Sunday morning when it's all cloudy and rainy. Man, it'd be so easy just to stay in bed and enjoy that. Yeah, I'm human. I'm flesh just like you. But I said, I ain't going to miss church today. I'm not going to lay here in the bed. I'm going to get up and I'm going to go to the house of the Lord. But I have to fight that flesh. I have to fight that desire. There's days I don't want to read my Bible, just like there's days you don't want to read yours. There's days I don't want to pray, just like there's days that you don't want to pray. There's days that I want to let the flesh rise up in me and just give somebody a tongue lashing or you know, give them the what for. Just like there are days that you want to do that. But we decided that we're going to put this flesh under the control of the Almighty God. And we're going to let the light shine instead of the flesh shine. So that we bring a good example to the Heavenly Father. Realize your problem. You're always at war with this Amalek in you. This flesh. Romans 8, 6 and 7 says, to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, and it cannot be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Well, who wrote that? Just probably one of the smartest men that's ever lived, the Apostle Paul. And he said to be carnally minded is to be at war with God. Huh. What? That means being more worried about things and stuff that are in this world. Am I happy? Am I satisfied? Have my needs been met? To be more earthly minded than heavenly minded means that you are not pleasing God. You can read it yourself. It's in your Bible. I'll give you the address again. Romans 8, 6 and 7. How about Galatians 5? It says, the flesh lusts after the spirit. The flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And they're contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. You see, our problem is not with the devil. The devil's been defeated by the cross. The blood of Jesus is against him. Amen? And he's defeated by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony, and that we would love not our own lives even unto the death. The devil's a defeated foe. And I know that he can come against people. I know he's got demons that can come against people. But for the most part, most of the time, what we're dealing with is just a contrary human nature that doesn't want to line up with what God wants us to do. That's the most of our problem, because we are covered by the blood and we are spirit-filled, and the devil can't do anything to us except the things that God would allow him to do to test us, to try us, and to push us on to a higher level. So the main problem I have is the same one you have, and it's Amalek. It's my flesh. But here's number four, the victory is God-given. In that story from Exodus 17, Moses says, okay, form up the army. Get the army ready. I'm going to go up on the hill and pray. I wonder sometimes if I said something like that. Okay, y'all get ready to fight. I'm going into the prayer closet, you know. Hey, wait a minute here. We'll go pray. You go out there and fight. But Moses said, you guys get ready to fight. I'm going up on the mountain and pray. Going up on the mountain. I'm going to seek God. And so he went up on the mountain and he began to seek God and began to pray, had his hands raised. And as long as, one of the most amazing stories in the Bible, as long as he had his hands raised, Israel won. When he got tired, have you ever seen how long you can just hold your hands up? You get weary after a little while, you get to achy. Because that's all muscle power, holding your hands up like that. Eventually your muscles get tired. You got to let your hands down. So here came Aaron and here came Hur. One on either side of him, set him on a rock, and they began to hold his hands up until the day was over, so that Joshua and the warriors could win the battle that day against the flesh, against Amalek. The victory is not won by trying harder. I thought all my life, I just need to try a little harder. I'm having a trouble with low self-esteem. I just need to try a little harder. I'm having trouble with whatever, you name it. I just need to try a little harder. Folks, the victory isn't won by human ability. It's not won by trying a little harder to do a little better. It's won by obedience to God. Because my Bible says in Galatians 5 that if we will walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So I can go out here all day and say, I'm not going to lie, 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 I'm not going to lie. And what do? You lie. I'm not going to look on a woman, I'm not going to look on a woman, I'm not going to look on a woman, I'm not going to look. And then what do? There you've done it. Huh? I am not going to think bad thoughts, I'm not going to think bad thoughts. And you do it. Why? Because you're trying. You may make it a day or a week or a month, but eventually your arms get tired. Eventually your arms get tired, and you tell that lie, you lust after somebody, you get angry in sin, and eventually it happens. Part of it is because we get so focused on what we're not going to do that that's all that we're focused on, and that's exactly where we go. You ever noticed how sometimes the car in front of you going down the road will go over across the white line and you'll follow it? Because you get focused on... Y'all are all better drivers than me. I got about three that said, yeah, I know that feeling, Pastor. You move towards what you focus on. You ever notice that if you're trying to look back? No, y'all don't ever do that. But if you're ever driving and you try to look back, you're going to veer over to the wrong side of the road? Yeah. Don't ever do that. I want y'all all to be able to come back to church next Sunday. So you got Moses and Aaron and Hur. The way you overcome the flesh is not by trying harder to keep it down, but it's by surrendering to God. Walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's right there in Galatians 5 for everybody to read. I don't know why it took me so long to figure that out. That if I want to win over this old flesh, what I need to do is to try harder to be obedient to God, to walk in the Spirit and to serve Him and to get my mind on Him and on God and to think on things that are pure and holy and noble and right. Yes. And then I find out that my want to changed. Okay, that's a whole other sermon for another time. Look at Moses and Aaron and Hur. This is our key. This is our key to this sermon that I'm trying to minister to you today. Moses lifted the rod. What does the rod represent? The rod represents God. It represents the Word of God. It represents the Holy Spirit and the power that comes from God. He lifts that rod and he's there lifting that rod. Let me tell you, folks, right here, you need to lift up the name of Jesus and tell it everywhere you go. You need to take the Word of God and lift it high. Don't be afraid that some of your friends might see you wearing a Christian t-shirt. Don't be afraid that some of your friends might see you toting a Bible around. Don't be afraid that somebody will come over to your house and see a Bible on your coffee table. Don't be afraid that somebody will hear you say, I need to stop and to pray right now. Let me tell you something real quick. I served on a jury a couple of weeks ago, and on the day that we were, the second day of the trial, we took lunch break, and some of us were going to go to lunch together just to try to expedite things, and so there were six of us that went to a little restaurant down there close to the courthouse, and I thought, I've not even told these people what I do for a living. We haven't talked about things like that. We haven't talked about it. We sat down at the table, and I'm thinking, okay, as soon as everybody gets their food, I'm gonna say, if y'all don't mind, I'm going to pray. And so we're sitting there, And I'd already heard some of these people cursing and talking, So we're sitting there at the table, and everybody gets served their food, and the lady across from me looks at me and says, "Would you mind praying over our food?" I said, "I'd be glad to." So I just prayed right there, Don't be afraid to pray. Brother Bobby Johnson tells a story about a young man that had just gotten saved in his church at Van Buren, and they went out, he took him out to a lunch afterwards, and by the time Brother Johnson got away from the church and got to the restaurant, it was packed and there were people everywhere, and they had to wait, and they finally got a table, and so he said, "Well, this young man just newly saved," he asked him, Brother Johnson said, "Would you mind praying over the meal?" He said, this young fellow went, "Dear Lord, oh God," and started praying real loud like he was in church, and said, Brother Bobby Johnson opened his eyes and looked around. He said, every head in the restaurant was bowed down. Don't be afraid to take your rod and let it shine. Folks, the homosexuals aren't afraid to let you know that they've chosen that lifestyle. The drug addicts, you can look at them and tell that they've adopted that lifestyle. The ones that choose to run after a baseball every Sunday, you can look at them and tell they've adopted that lifestyle. Why in the world should we not look like we have surrendered our life to the most important one in the universe? Lift up that rod and stand in the day of battle. Let it stand. But here, what about Aaron and what about her? You see, Aaron represents the priesthood. And he represents prayer. Folks, you've got to be willing to stand on the Word of God, but you've got to have one arm propped up by prayer. You've got to be praying. The Christian that's going nowhere is the Christian that's spending no time in prayer. You've got to spend time in prayer. Not just a few minutes when we're in service together. What about her that had the other name? Her's name means white. And he represents purity. There was the rod being held up in Moses' hand by prayer and by purity. Folks, what am I saying to you this morning? I'm saying your victory comes from God as you hold on to the Word. And as you get into the fight, and you have prayer and you have purity lined up to make you strong in the battle, you've got the ability to fight and to win. Because what did it say? It said it took all day. They had to fight all day long, but at the end of the day, Amalek, I like the King James, said he was discomfited. I reckon if somebody was coming after you with a two-edged sword, you'd be pretty discomfited as well. He was whooped. He was beaten. He had to give up and retreat and run from the field of battle, and God won a victory that day. Well, Pastor, was that the last time they had trouble? Oh, no. Read your Bible. They continue to have trouble. Folks, sometimes we struggle with something for a while. Sometimes it's not just as easy as saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Sometimes it stays, and it continues to bother us. But we continue to lift up the Word of God, to stand on the power of God, to pray, and to allow purity in our lives and in our walk to make us strong through God. That's where the victory comes from. I want you to know today, whatever it is that Amalek is doing in your life, whatever it is that you have problems with, I have no reason to doubt that there are some of you here today that are just strictly under attack from hell. You're dealing with satanic attack. Brother Dan Ash was telling me about a church back up in Pennsylvania that the pastor that was there, his wife passed away, and the associate pastor took over the care of the church, and now his wife has passed away, and it sounds like that church is under some spiritual battle, that there's a spiritual fight that's going on in that church. Demons are real. The devil is real, and he messes around in the affairs of man. He does, and I don't mean to discount that. The good news is the same victory that gives us victory over the flesh gives us victory over him too. Amen. Amen. There is no weapon that is formed against you that can win, because you have the blood of Jesus Christ, the word of your testimony on your side, and the victory is yours. So today, what a day of celebration. The Spirit moved this morning around the message in tongues and around, what a beautiful, that's one of the best times of communion that I can remember having. Beautiful time of communion. Now we've welcomed a new family into our church, and now we've heard from God this morning. But before we go, before I let you go out of here, I just want a chance to pray for you today. So would you stand to your feet right now around the room? I want to pray for you today. I want to let you know that you are loved and you are prayed for. When I'm in this room and I pray, sometimes maybe it's hard for me to come up with all the names, but I pray for everybody that sits on all of these seats. And I pray for you. As the Holy Spirit brings your name to me, I pray for you by name. If you're going through a struggle, you're being prayed for. Let me tell you, today is a day when God wants to touch you with some awesome power in this place before you go home. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to speak a pastoral prayer over you. I'm going to pray for you as your pastor, as the shepherd that God has given charge of this flock. I'm going to pray for you. And then I'm just going to ask you, if you're struggling, if you're battling, whether it's an attack from hell or you're just struggling with your flesh, I'm going to give you an opportunity to receive individual prayer today. Father God, I bless this congregation in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You died for these people, and you have given them hope beyond today. You've given them power and love and a sound mind. Father, we are not controlled by the spirit of fear, but we are controlled, God, by the power that you give us. God, sometimes it seems to us like it's too hard, and it'd just be easier to let go and to just drift with the flow and the direction the world is going. But God, we are not going to bring dishonor on you by shipwrecking our faith. We are going to stand true, and we're going to stand firm. Having done all to stand, we are going to stand because you are going to enable us to do that standing. Father, your power, your might, your name is going to be glorified at Lake Hamilton Assembly of God, and the light is going to shine brightly in this dark world from this place. Father, we give you thanks for it now, God, and we just look forward to seeing you face to face. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, I'd like to ask if there's anybody today, maybe you're struggling, you're fighting with something in your body, there is no shame in admitting that I've been wounded in the battle and I need some prayer. I need somebody to help me. I feel weak. My arms are getting tired and I need somebody to help me hold them up. That's part of the privilege of being in the family of God. So if you're struggling today physically or mentally or emotionally, you just need somebody to help you and to pray for you, would you come to the altar right now? Would you just make a move this way? While they're coming, while they're thinking about that, let me just say, I open this by saying the only way to have victory, the only way to have victory is by giving your life to Jesus. Amen. Have you committed your life to Christ? Are you saved and you know that you're saved? Are you saved and you know that you're saved?